Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
I'm going to give you some important advice. Don't walk away from... Do you have to look back at where you've been to see where you're going? Just look forward and walk. Stop looking back.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, December 3rd, and this is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, we got Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tassie. We got our Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! Got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
And last but not least, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are on a Friday. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. If you haven't already, subscribe, like, comment, and share the show. Don't forget to grab yourself some No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Just in time for the holidays. Some last-minute gift ideas available over at nodunks.com. Got hoodies and t-shirts and shorts and mugs and on and on and on. So go to nodunks.com for that. And email in your MBA and your non-MBA questions. We always want them. Send them in to nodunks@theathletic.com. I'm coming at you from my buddy Grisha's office again today, because, Comcast is com crap sometimes. Yeah. Outage in the area. Said it was going to be until 1:30. I was like, come on, I got to talk to the guys about a 73-point loss. Grish, can I get over there? Can I use your office? I have to talk about this. So, shout out to my buddy Grish for letting me sort of crash here again. Check out last night's No Buffs episode, too, if you're a Survivor fan. We recapped episode 11. Of the greatest show on television. Discussed the do or die twist and Erica's swing vote decision and a whole lot more. Tass, I know that you watched the episode and you're definitely hooked into this season. Can I just get your quick take on the do or die twists? Were you a fan of that or no?
I'd say no. I'm a purist.
But
they had me going. They had me going though, okay. Because it went till the last minute, figured that there wasn't going to be a vote at tribal council.
Right.
Because of the time. I was looking at the watch, and it was a quick tribal council vote, even though we had an extra vote from Big X.
It's true. X. So go check
the
out
X-Man.
Go check out that No Buffs episode. No Buffs, again, has its own YouTube feed and its own Apple and Spotify feed. If you want to listen to the podcast, Jason Concepcion, of course, joined us last night. A lot of fun, as always. Okay, but on today's No Dunks, we're going to discuss some potential blockbuster trades that could shake up this league. Yeah, we're talking trades, baby. Why not? We got five-star Friday fun. We got tweet of the night. We got rapid-fire questions at the end. But we got to start with the Grizzlies thrashing OKC by an NBA record 73 points, Tass. It's wild to see written. It's crazy to say out loud. And it was sort of a lot of fun on Twitter last night, if I'm being honest, where people were realizing, they're down 70 points? Is this, like, legit? And, yeah, it turned into 73, a new record. What do you think?
Well, like everybody, I mean, the first thought I had was, holy shit, what is happening? and then you realize a bunch of their best players are out, a team that's already looking for the lottery, with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was out, Josh Giddey was out. Right after he was named Rookie of the Month, that's unfortunate for them. Kind of took the shine off that. Kendrick Williams and Derek Favors also not part of the rotation. That all being said, you'd think if they lose by 73 points that they'd have like another 50 or 60 point loss this season. Their next worst loss is by 33 points, and they had those excuses, as I mentioned, getting smacked all over the place, looking at the box score as us nerds do. Wow, this guy was a minus 56 on the court. only 28 baskets scored on the other side. I mean, that was, it was crazy. My favorite tweet, I think, of all the holy shit tweets was Dan Devine saying, all we need is a stop and a bucket. And another bucket, and another bucket, and another bucket, and another bucket, and another bucket. And about 35 of them. All that to say, I think this puts the front office on high alert for the rest of the season if OKC decides to sit guys like they did last year because they were trying to get that number one pick. Now, again, they weren't sitting guys in this one, but it doesn't matter. I think the optics are horrible for the league, and they did this last year when they sat Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they sat Al Horford, and the league chose not to punish them. And when you see a 73-point loss, and that's the story in the NBA when you had the Bulls-Knicks playing and you had other stories going on, it's like a retroactive punishment for me. If one of these guys sits, I think the NBA has to come down on OKC. And it doesn't matter if Clay Bennett's a good owner, he's part of the Board of Governors, he's part of the Relocation Committee, it doesn't matter. You can't do this year in and year out where you sit guys and try and go for the number one pick. And again, that wasn't the story yesterday. This team is better than a lot of other teams in the NBA. They've got a couple more wins than several other teams in the NBA. But I think it's an image thing. It's always an optics thing with the NBA. And the Thunder did well last year after dropping to the fourth worst record. They dropped in the lottery, unfortunate for them, to get to the number six pick, but they got Josh Giddey, and he was just named Rookie of the Month. So you could say they are trying and all that, but they're absolutely not in a way. And I think the league, as they've tried to try and fix this tanking scenario with all the odds in the lottery and all that, they still have to come down on teams. And that's all. Because you can't have a 73-point loss. It's just bad, again, for the way people look at the NBA.
Yeah, the Grizzlies were 5 points clear of the previous record set by the Cavaliers in 1991, Lee, when they defeated the Heat by 68 points. Do you remember that game at all?
I actually do, because it was on NBA Action. I do honestly remember it. I believe Terrell Brandon was playing in that game. Okay. So, yes, I do. But Tass is actually 100% right here. This is sort of just beyond a laughable loss. This is humiliation for the entire franchise and the league as well. Because you're putting a team out there that doesn't even show any sort of competitiveness. And I think that's just an embarrassment. So, you know, I understand the Thunder aren't looking, they're not in a win now mode. They're looking to the future. But it's very hard to understand how being completely and utterly humiliated like this is helpful for anybody on the franchise. I mean, I think it's one thing to lose a couple of games and say, yeah, you know, like we're not maybe fielding our best players. But yeah, you cannot have this and just think that the NBA can just sort of brush it aside and think there's nothing more to it. They have to make sure.
But hold on. I want to push back against you guys. What do you want the league to do for them losing by 73 points last night? They didn't have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They didn't have Giddey. You know, it got out of control. Don't get me wrong. You should never lose by 70-plus points, and it has never happened until last night. But I understand what Tass was saying with, like, moving forward. If you guys are really leaning into like sitting guys that are healthy that should be playing and all that, but that wasn't the case last night. So it's like,
yeah, but it wasn't.
I mean, they don't even have the worst record in the league. They're not even the worst
team. I know. I mean, they beat the Lakers twice, which is which is kind of remarkable. But I just think this is more than just a laughable loss. I think this is just like, you can't be that terrible in the NBA. You just can't be. You've got to be somewhat more competitive against the Grizzlies, who are missing their best player, who've now won three in a row without Ja Morant. But you know, look, if this is the Thunder, they've got some grand plan that in 4 years' time this is going to pay off, I guess it's worth it. But I just think when you run a squad out there that just gets laughed at like that by the entire league, and beyond that, the sporting guys, CNN had an article on it today as well. So that's just a bad look. And I just don't think the NBA should be comfortable with that under any circumstances.
Yeah, that's fair. It doesn't help, Trey, that you pair this with the Thunder in the same calendar year, if I have that correct. I believe it was in May that they were a part of the biggest road loss in NBA history. You know, the Pacers set the biggest road win, I should say. They beat them by 57 in OKC. So this is sort of the same idea, the same team here. It's happening in the span of a couple, like half a year, really, that they now have the record biggest home loss and biggest road loss. That is rough, I'll give you that. But what do you make of this game last night? Is it just an aberration and let's not freak out so much? Or are the guys sort of onto something here and Presti, you know, does deserve to be held over the flames a little bit?
I think it's both. I think it is a little bit of an aberration because, I mean, it's literally a 73-point loss. Crazy stuff. I first caught wind of it. Somebody tweeted, this should be Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's all-star audition tape. It's 72-36 at halftime. I don't know about y'all, but I had to take a screenshot of this. I went for the screenshot when it was 75-150, the perfect double up. I thought nice. That would be a nice one to commemorate, but... This is only year two of the rebuild for the Thunder, so maybe they get a little bit more time. But when the Sixers were tanking this hard, the league stepped in and removed Sam Hinkie as their GM. So I think it's certainly possible that Sam Presti is at least getting some eyeballs at this point if you're going to be putting up the worst home loss and the worst road loss in the same calendar year. We know what happened with Horford last year. They sat him down because... he was an experienced veteran who could help him win games. They sat Shea Gilgeous-Alexander down after an injury and kept him out for the rest of the season. Those are the kind of things, and losses like this piling up is what got Sam Hinkie out of Philadelphia. So I think it hasn't quite gotten as bad as it was in Philly yet for OKC, but it's getting there. And by the end of the season, I think we might be hearing some buzz about the Thunder need to turn something around at least a little bit here and be a more competitive team.
Yeah, just to wrap this up, the Grizzlies shot 62.5% from the field, 52.8% from three, and they out-rebounded OKC 53-26. They had a 41-14 advantage in assists and 152 points, obviously a franchise record for them. The wild, wild stats. Jaren Jackson Jr. did have a really good game for the Grizzlies. I mean, he hit six threes and 27 points. Yeah, I know. There's not a whole lot that you can say.
A nice game for Muscala as well last night. 12 points on eight shots, 3 of 7 from three. Muscala gets the game ball for the Thunder, I think.
Wow.
A minus 21.
Oh, my God. Yeah, go take a look at the box score, though, just to see the plus minuses on both teams. It's pretty wild. So we'll see. You know, I don't want to freak out too much. You are missing your all-star-like player and Giddy, who's been really good for them, too. Things just got out of hand last night, and it was wild to see. They had a decent fourth quarter, Lee. I mean, they at least cut it, so they weren't doubled up, which is almost unfortunate. It would have been nice to have the double up like Trey was showing us, like, for the whole game. Unfortunately,
yeah.
Came up short on that.
Yeah, definitely never seen a box score where the team lost by between 15 to 22 points in every quarter.
Yeah.
Never happened, obviously. Just to get... romped like that. And yeah, it's not just about this night. I think, yeah, it goes back to last year, really, when the league decided, whatever, you're sitting Horford, you're sitting Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, but those stories, those sitting of those guys didn't get to CNN, didn't become a big issue. But now with a 73-point loss and now, yeah, a bit more of a spotlight on the team, it is becoming more like Philadelphia. And I don't think those types of moves, if they go forward with them, should go unpunished. It's, you know, it's they slapped the wrist of the Celtics and the Heat yesterday. They got to slap the wrist of OKC at some point down the road here when they decide to sit guys. But yeah, in this one, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, his head hit somebody's foot. He's in concussion protocol. Giddy's hurt. Favors is hurt. That would have been
Kenrich Williams
for sure. Yeah.
No, he wasn't in there as well. I mean, the problem with that though, Tass, is like the Raptors sat Kyle Lowry last year. I mean, he could have played. And they're like, well, no, why? We don't want to play for, you know, the play-in tournament. So let's just help our odds in the lottery. So they it feels like the Thunder do get picked on a little bit more than some other teams that also lean into tanking and like are doing these decisions where like, oh, that guy could probably play, but meh, just leave him out. And maybe
the
that's
leaniest
just a cute...
of the leaners, though. Come on.
Yeah.
I know where do you draw the line in the sand? Yeah, the Raptors sat Lowry, but OKC was sitting... anybody and everybody, trading anybody and everybody, trying to get the draft.
It's
clear what they're doing.
Yeah,
So it's hard. It is hard. And Adam Silver works for the owners. And I'm sure he's got a good relationship with Clay Bennett. And Clay Bennett is, done good for the league, I suppose, in his roles as what he does. But you know what? When it becomes such a big story, yeah, it's unfortunate, but it has to come back on somebody, and it's got to come back on OKC. At some point, Trey brings up a good point about the Sixers. It's not there quite yet, I guess. You know, they're not 9-73 or whatever the Sixers were trying to get to there, but they're knocking on the door at some point, I guess. But yeah, like they've got six wins. We say, hey, they're not the worst team in the league. Yeah, Other teams have 4 and 5 wins, so they're pretty close. They're pretty close to being the worst team in the league at some point.
That's true. All right, let's keep it going here. Let's get to an actually entertaining game. TK, get us started, man. DeRozan and Zach LaVine, they help the Bulls hang on to Bing Bong the Knicks. 119-11. No, that's my typo. Okay, that actually is a typo that I have here on the stream team. It was, I believe it was 115.
That's right.
And I will make sure to correct that. But what were your big takeaways from this one?
I don't know how the Bulls and Knicks have already played 3 times before Christmas, but after last night, it's been 3 classics. What a game. Bulls got out to a big lead in the first half. 21 points was the biggest margin they got up to. Vucci, baby, was running wild. 13 points in the first quarter. Hit a 3. Had a big dunk. It kind of felt like a high school movie when the dork gets made up as a hottie. Who is that? Nikola Vucevic running down the lane, throwing down. I loved it, but it is known. First half leads are not real. The Knicks came charging back in the third quarter. Starters were actually looking pretty good. Evan Fournier hit 3 threes in the corner. Emmanuel Quickley was starting for RJ Barrett, who's out with an illness. He hit 3 threes in the quarter. They turned the defense up, forced a whole bunch of turnovers from the Bulls, held Chicago to 20 points in the third. So this was a tight one going into the fourth quarter. But that's when DeMar DeRozan took over. 18 points in the fourth, including Chicago's first 10. He went 6 of 7 from the field, went 6 of 7 from the free throw line. My personal favorite make of DeRozan's was the double pump fake, then the step through, then off the glass, and one. Loved seeing that. They needed every single make, though, from DeRozan because Julius Randle was hard to handle. 30, 12, and 6 for Julius. 9 in the fourth. Bulls just do not have a good matchup for his strength and size and, honestly, pretty solid shooting as well. But what a free throws do, Lee.
Oh,
win
yeah.
Games. Randle, 1 of 3 on clutch free throws in the last 2 minutes. Got ripped by Alex Caruso with a little less than a minute left. A tie game, which was a huge play. Bulls score the next 6. Bing bong. The Bulls are back. This was a fun game. Bulls executed a little bit better down the stretch. Got great performances from their stars. 34 for DeRozan with 0 three-point attempts. That's an old-school game right there. 27 for LaVine. 27 for Vooch. These teams don't play again until March. That's a bummer.
Wow.
At least the first 3 were bangers.
Yeah. No, they were great games. Lee, I got to ask you, too. What do you think about the officiating last night? I know Knicks fans were not happy with the whistle, especially the Taj Gibson ejection was a little quick, it appeared. I know, I'm sure he said some things he shouldn't have, but man, those were two quick technicals and you're out of here. But what'd you think?
Well, the technicals, absolutely, he did not deserve to be ejected for that. And there needs, I wonder if there's some way you can almost challenge that second one, because that was the ref just like, you're going to show me up? Well, bang, you're out of here. And he didn't need to react like that. Mike Breen said it on the call. You've got to show some composure as the ref, just like the players have to. Taj Gibson kind of earned that first one, you know, trying to open your eyes, and Caruso kind of flops. Caruso does that around screens. He picked up one later on. I think it was on Mitchell Robinson as well for that. But Gibson didn't deserve to go. Other than that, again, it's a physical game. I think, honestly, DeMar DeRozan got hit on that very last play where he went up and scored in the paint too. I think it put the Bulls up by 4, and there wasn't a call on that. So, you know, these are the sorts of things we can get down into the nitty-gritty anytime there's contact and say, right, was that a foul? Was it not a foul? It doesn't really change the fact that I think as great as Julius Randle was in this game, unfortunately, he had some costly turnovers and he wasn't able to hit those free throws late. Now, that doesn't take away from the fact that he kind of carried that team and put them into that position. Evan Fournier was good in the third quarter as well. But unfortunately, the late game execution was the difference here. And DeRozan, Trey mentions that one where he sort of banked it in. I actually like the other one where he spun deep, you know, long too. Not necessarily a great analytical shot, but when DeRozan's in his bag like that, he was just on fire, and he's got such a slow-mo way of just deciding how to get to his spot and get to his shot and rise up. And it's incredible to watch a guy just so accomplished at this stage of his career. And he talked about it after the game. Someone said to him, he doesn't remember who it was, someone said to him, whatever you're good at, just perfect that. And DeRozan right now has virtually perfected that sort of mid-range, close the game, you know, leadership in the fourth quarter. Because it looked like, and the Knicks got the lead twice there in the fourth quarter, it looked like the Knicks might have just been able to carry it over here. But then Caruso, effective defensively. He turned the ball over, though. When was that? I can't remember now. Late in the fourth quarter himself, mm-hmm. I think. But overall, you know, you look at 3 or 4 plays. And another key play here, Mitchell Robinson came out with about 2 minutes, 45, 50 to go, and he was basically just gassed. And Clyde Frazier was talking about on the broadcast, like, if he's not there, you know the Bulls are going to attack. Now, Levine hit a step back three, but step back long two, sorry, and long then DeRozan two. Did drive inside. Mm-hmm. But that, to me, is also a problem. Now, Rose came in. Rose is, you know, a good finisher there for the Knicks, but if you've got a guy who can protect the paint and then he's not there and the Bulls kind of take advantage of that, bad coaching, I'm not sure. If a guy's gassed, I mean, you've got to get his conditioning up. He's got to be able to finish the game because I think he's so important to the Knicks. Derrick Rose was the one kind of there protecting the paint on that last DeRozan drive. So I think the Knicks can look at this and think they were bad in the first half. They got themselves back in it, but the Bulls just showed them how to end the game.
Yeah, I think it was Clyde saying when there was no big guy in there for the Knicks, when the cat's away, the mice will play.
That man had some lines.
Oh, he is. Yeah. Breen. I mean, this is, it's, if you're not listening to, I love the Bulls broadcast too. And I don't know, Trey, do you always listen to like the Chicago Bulls broadcast? Yeah, okay. As a Bulls fan, that makes sense. But
there was a Zach
even
Levine
Trey would
line.
Admit the Knicks broadcast is, I mean, they're incredible, Clyde and Breen. Yeah, go ahead,
Dustin. Well, the line for Levine from Clyde Frazier was, feline quickness with a canine attitude. my God, you're the best, man. I mean, it just comes up with it on the spot. The Knicks, it was nice that they didn't have any backup centers. You know, Taj Gibson gets tossed. Nerlens Noel's not in there. That was the huge difference for me. Yep. It was nice in the first half because we could see, Nick Vucevic becoming the Nerd Alert, becoming the beautiful star with a huge dunk. Caruso, that huge alley-oop jam on the break. I mean, they really had no rim protection when Mitchell Robinson was off the floor. Obi Toppin wasn't happening. Derrick Rose protecting the rim? I mean, come on. They were lacking big time protecting the rim when Mitchell Robinson wasn't out there, who is a beast and had five blocks. And it's fun to watch him. It feels like an old school basketball player. I don't know if it's just because it's in MSG. He's moving a little slowly. He's wearing a headband, but it's fun to watch that dude protect the rim. And they paid Nerlens Noel to be a really expensive backup center, and if he was out there, and if RJ Barrett was out there, and if Taj Gibson was out there, he just said, that's two, man, that's two. And Ben Taylor, the referee, tosses him for saying that's two. Maybe he dropped an F-bomb in there. but it's true. Ben Taylor missed two calls on Taj Gibson. Moving screens never get called, but Ben Taylor loves calling.
They called a lot.
Got one on Caruso after that as well.
there was a lot of
makeup calls. The Knicks had some complaints, some valid complaints in the first half, no doubt about it. The ejection was a little quick-ski for me as well, but the Knicks ended up shooting more free throws than the Bulls, and I thought they got some gifts in the second half. I thought it evened out.
All right, our next game. The Suns push past the Pistons, and they win a franchise record. 18 straight games, Lee. We were worried about the trap game. Of course, they had just beat the Warriors. They're playing the Warriors again tonight. We thought, what could happen in between there? A lowly Detroit Pistons team. You never know in the NBA. But it was close, but they took care of business. What, anything to add to that?
Yeah, well, the Pistons went on a 17-0 run there in the third quarter to actually make it close, because I think the Suns were kind of like, we just got to get through this game to preserve the record win streak. And then, of course, we face the Golden State Warriors tonight. And it was going to plan, and I think the Suns thought, okay, we'll just close this out. But the Pistons, who have been competitive, I think, certainly recently, sort of said, all right, we're not just going to lie down and let this team beat us. But in the end, Chris Paul and the Suns just executed as you expected them to do. And it was, again, it was a close enough game that the Pistons were a chance, but they really, it would have been such a letdown, such an anticlimactic night tonight if the Suns had lost last night. Because, but they didn't. So good on the Pistons for at least, showing some fight there. Jeremy Grant was good. But the Phoenix Suns, they started Landry Shamet last night. I expect he will start for Devin Booker again tonight. I mean, it makes sense that they would do that. But that's all it really was. They've now set a new record, 18 consecutive wins, which is pretty remarkable. This team, mentioned the other day, were 1-3. And you sort of wondered if they were a bit hungover from last season. Right now, they're looking fantastic. And I just cannot wait for tonight. I think it's going to be an awesome game in the Bay there.
Yeah. Are we going to be done our Christmas dinner in time to watch this game? I guess we
have
will
to be. Yeah.
We'll have to wrap it up. Check, please. We got a game to go watch. Just another balanced effort from the Suns, though. Seven guys scoring in double figures. They shot 54% overall. Another great win. And you're right, Lee, gets us very excited for tonight's rematch here against the Warriors, this time in the Bay. And that will be our pick'em game. So stick around to hear our selections for that in a little bit. Anything to add, Tass, or Trey, to the Suns extending their win streak to a franchise record 18 straight?
No.
Not much. I would say the thing that if you're a Pistons fan, you're chronicling Cade Cunningham's opening season, seeing what he can do. And James Edwards on The Athletic did a good job possession by possession, even before the game, writing about him stretching, signing autographs, doing his thing, and then into the game possession by possession. So it's a good read if you want to read about Cade. You faded for Caded, and now you got him, and hopefully things are going to be on the up and up, because he's good, man. He's still good.
Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Get yourself an Athletic subscription so you can read James Edwards III. All right, our next game here. Van Vliet, he just basically refused to let the Raptors fall to the Giannis-less books. No Giannis last night, sort of a last-minute scratch. So it was like 30 minutes before the game when everybody found out that he wasn't going to be playing. But, man, Tass, I want the Raptors to put together a little win streak here, start winning some games so Fred VanVleet can possibly make an all-star game. This guy, I mean, I watched this one in its entirety, and there was a stretch in the fourth quarter. Really, in the second half, it was VanVleet saying, we're not losing this game, guys. Like, we need to win a damn home game here. But he nailed a three. Then he beat Holiday backdoor for a layup. Then he made a steal, which led to a Siakam layup on the break. Sparked a run after the Bucks had like cut the lead to two, and then a little bit later just makes this twisting sort of right hand layup in traffic, puts the Raptors back up six with like 3 minutes to go. And Van Vliet, Freddie, very stoic, usually no emotion when he's out there, he was hyping up the crowd. He was trying to get this place in the Scotiabank Arena give some energy because they keep losing games home, and it was weird to see Van Vliet do that, but it was sort of refreshing. And I thought an unbelievable performance task by him to really get the Raptors a much-needed win. I mean, they're taking on the Bucks without Giannis, and they have a huge home stretch here where they could, in theory, string together some wins and sort of be right back in the playoff picture or playoff race in the loaded Eastern Conference. I don't know if you agree or not.
Oh, yeah, I love the optimism, for sure. As soon as you get a dub, it feels good. Fred has been their most important player, leading the league in minutes played. And, yeah, this was bound to happen. The all-star push for Fred was bound to happen. It's got to feel good as a Raptors fan watching him. And the way he talked about coming into the season without Kyle Lowry, how he thought he was going to step up with him and Pascal Siakam to have that connection. And Pascal wasn't there the first few weeks, and he's still hanging on to this team, still pushing it forward while, yeah, the rest of it has been bit of a clusterfuck, let's be honest.
Tass got a sailor mouth on him today.
Yeah, I do. I really do. I mean, I don't want to mince words. There isn't a better word for clusterfuck, is there?
No, but you usually do the incredible job of somehow like censoring yourself say the word.
Yeah. Not today. It's a Friday. So they just don't have bodies. And it's happened at every position, including Pascal Siakam's, but Fred has been there, as we said, like 39 minutes a friggin' night. There, I did it. It's just watching these young guys grow and Fred trying to bring them along and Pascal still hasn't found his flow. And it's, you know, we just talked about Cade Cunningham. I'm just watching Scotty Barnes and how he's coachable in every single game. And Nick Nurse is pushing him to shoot threes. He only shot like 19 in the first 18 games. And now he's shot 21 in the last three. And I love it. But it's also the good with the bad when it comes to, you know, those aren't the shots that we should be watching if this is going to be a playoff team, because they're not great shots. But it's one of those seasons. Sometimes you get a good Freddie and a good Pascal. And sometimes you get a young guy shooting threes all over the place. So I don't know where this season goes. Right now it feels good. And if they had all their guys healthy, it would feel good. But sometimes you're replacing guys with, you know, like we're talking about OKC, you're replacing guys with non-replacement players. So then it's a bad season.
I mean, Van Vliet almost has to lead the league in minutes played, Lee. I don't know if you've watched Raptors games. Like, they're garbage when he's not out there. They're not good at all. Like, he has to play for setting up the offense, being able to hit a three, and then what he gives you defensively too. Like, it's like, Nurse is honestly in a tough spot. He's like, I have to play him. Yeah. We're just not going to win games, but I'm running this guy into the ground with around 40 minutes per game. It's sort of wild.
Yeah, and if you listen to Jack Armstrong, Fred VanVleet should be starting in the All-Star game. He's been he's been that good for them at both ends of the floor. But this was a game last night that just would not end. The Raptors, you know, led for most of it. They took advantage of the others. And do either watch the last 3.5 minutes or don't, Rich. I don't know if it's like really good, tight basketball or if it's just like, just end the game. Stop with the replays and the reviews. Siakam goes down. He gets initially the block call against Pat Connaughton. Then they reverse it and they call it an offensive foul. And Siakam, actually, that was his sixth foul, and he goes out of the game. So the Raptors had a chance. And Jack Armstrong as well basically said at one point, I think the Raptors were leading by 7. And he's like, all you got to do is get a couple of stops here and then go down the other end and score, and you can put this baby away. And then Drew Holiday just hits a three right in his face there. It was just
oh, I mean, it got worse, Lee. Precious Achiuwa.
What are you chewing?
Yeah. He almost tried to give this game away. Totally. He fouled Chris Middleton on a three with about 15 seconds to go. Then, and this was a rough call, I thought, but he picked up the loose ball foul when Middleton missed the last free throw.
Yeah.
That sent the Bucks back to the line. Yeah. And then he wasn't done. Precious missed a pair of free throws that could have iced the game with like 4 seconds to go. And Pat Connaughton had a really good corner look at a three-pointer that didn't drop, or otherwise the Raptors could have lost this game. I mean, that would have been a brutal loss. But, you know, Precious, he is the ultimate roller coaster. There's some great moments. A huge dunk in transition. He pinned a Drew Holiday block off the glass, like, pretty late. That was huge defensive play. But then he has, like, these boneheaded decisions and fouls and stuff like that. Ugh.
Luckily, they've got Fred VanVleet, though, because I think that he said he's a player, a coach, and a parent to the rest of the Raptors. And you saw, I think there was like 0.7 seconds left, and the Raptors were up 4, and it was going to be the Bucks ball, and you can just see Fred standing on the sideline saying, "Don't move. Don't move. Put your arms down and we can't lose.
Don't do
anything out there." I thought like he was speaking specifically to Precious Achiuwa on that one. So that was a great moment from VanVleet. But if I'm the Bucks, I'm a little worried about Brook Lopez. We just found out he's going to be out indefinitely. And I think size was definitely a problem for the Bucks last night. Obviously no Giannis.
Yeah.
They don't really have a big guy right now. 16 offensive rebounds for the Raptors. That was 29 second chance points. Bucks don't win the title last year without Brook Lopez.
Right,
remember he had that 33 against the Hawks in game 5 after Giannis went down with his knee injury. He's also been an instrumental part of their defense for the past 3 seasons. He made a run at Defensive Player of the year that Giannis won it. And his boxing out, I think, is such a huge reason why they're able to clean up the glass the way they do. They're middle of the pack right now. I've said it a few times. You can see it in a game like this against the Raptors. And the Raptors aren't a team that has, like, a huge big guy who's going to go out there and board. So I don't know what's going to happen for the Bucks with regards to their big guys, because Boogie didn't play last night. Like, he's still not ready to be playing back-to-backs in heavy minutes. Also, I don't think you want Brook Lopez to be your number one big – or Boogie to be your number one big guy come playoff time. So I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they use maybe DiVincenzo to find another big guy or something. Maybe take a look at Nurkic, something like that. Bring him in for just a huge body that they need.
Yeah, it's we got our answer as to why they signed Cousins, right, Tass? We were like, what does that mean about Brook Lopez? Well, a day later, they're saying he's getting surgery on his back, so that's what it meant. He was he's in there to sop up some big minutes there, and who knows if Brook is back by a late season or a playoff push. I guess we really just don't know, right?
Yeah, at least they left it open that there is a possibility that he does come back for the playoffs. So that's, a huge, huge plus if they get him back. But they will be looking, I assume, as well for a body out there. But, that's the way they've played for years and years. Giannis has had Brook behind him, and Giannis doesn't want to play the five. He doesn't want to be the big man back there. And him and Bobby Portis isn't really the... That's not the solution, that's for sure. That's a body will be coming in if Brook isn't there. But hopefully he does come back for the postseason. It's been a strange couple months because they didn't say a single thing since game one until the surgery happened. So hopefully that meant that they were trying to figure it out in a non-surgical way.
Right.
But hopefully he comes back for the playoffs.
And then just finally here, last game from last night, Blazers coach coach Chauncey Billups, troubled by team's effort in a blowout loss to the Spurs. They lost 114-83, Lili, at home to San Antonio. Nice win from the Spurs, of course. But Billups after the game said, quote, "My biggest concern is I want us to compete harder, man. I want us to compete harder. I want us to be competitive in every game, and I don't feel like every night we do that. We don't, and it concerns me." And more bad news. Like, no Lillard, of course, in this game. No Nasir Little. And then Anthony Simons, who was starting for Lillard at the point guard position, their young guard, who has shown, like, little flashes here and there, he goes down with an ankle injury. So this is a brutal loss for Portland, especially on the effort level. And it was at home where they usually have been good. And yeah. They finally lose one here.
And Jason Quick had a good write-up after this game talking about how effort losses have been the theme here for Portland. Chauncey Billups has said this a lot, where it's like, I'm just worried about our effort. We're just not competing. And they weren't competitive last night at home. As you mentioned, that's where at least they've found some fortune this season by winning a lot of games there. But the Spurs just punked them. And honestly, you know, I'm going to play body language doctor here again. Shoulders slumped, effort just not there. There was a point where DeJounte Murray, I think it was in the third quarter, steals the ball, goes down for the dunk in the half-court set, and the Blazers is just trotting behind him afterwards. Mm-hmm. It's like there's none of that desperation of, like, even if you're going to get dunked on, to just sort of save some sort of face here by at least showing that you're not going to lie down. But honestly, to get killed like that by a team that's also struggling, the Spurs, I know they had a victory the other night, but they haven't been good this season. That is a team that's like just not on the same page as each other. And Jason Quick also refers to how the fact that the Blazers need to do something here because...
Yeah, shake-up is coming.
Exactly. They're better than, you know, the worst teams, but they're nowhere near the top teams. They're in that sort of no man's land of like play-in tournament. Even if you win the play-in tournament, your first round fodder, you're not bad enough that you can compete with the Thunder, you know, by losing by 6,000. But it's also like, what's the point at this stage when you've come this far with Lillard and McCollum and Nurkic? But it's like, okay, we know what how this season's going to end as it is right now. So I think there'll be some... there has to be a shake-up there in Portland.
Well, maybe they'll make a trade for Ben Simmons, because we're going to discuss that after the break. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, back with No Dunks on a Friday. I was already in a good mood. I'm even in a better mood now. Shout out to Ken and Marge on the birth of a new baby boy coming across the wire right now.
Wow.
Yeah, how about
Shams
that,
breaking the news?
Yeah.
So great stuff. Congrats, guys.
Ken and Marge on the birth of their healthy little boy. That is awesome. Okay, so guys, let's talk trades. You know, I've been saying it for the last couple days. Something's coming. You know, we're getting closer to that December 15th date where you can include a lot of guys in potential deals. Some of these teams know that they stink now and that they should maybe really lean into the development of their team and try and get something back. There's other teams like, man, we need a piece to, like, get us up in the standings. So I hit the internet yesterday and I scoured it. I'm looking for trade ideas. So I got a couple I'm going to throw at you guys. And I want to make this clear. Don't fucking come at me in the stream team. These aren't my trades. These are the internet's trades. A lot of the time, you know, I'll slap on the credit of who I saw it from. But they're not mine. So you're like, oh, what a dumb trade. Well, go tell them. Seek them out, okay? But I thought they're at least decent enough to break down here. And I'm going to sort of pair them together. Let's start with Ben Simmons. Two that I've seen that I'm like, okay, fascinating. One has to do with the Blazers, and this one's been around for a while. In fact, by all accounts, the Blazers shut it down like a month or two ago because Morey was asking for about 100 draft picks. But the frame of the deal would be the Blazers get Ben Simmons and the Sixers in return get CJ McCollum. And then let's call it two protected first round picks. And no, again, we've seen like three first round picks, three draft swaps. It ain't going to be that many, but maybe it's closer to like two or three. So there's that one. Simmons to the Blazers for McCollum and picks. The other one, what about just Ben Simmons for Kyrie Irving? Straight up. That one by way of Bleacher Report. Yeah. Like, why not just say, hey, the Nets, you could use a little more defense. There's Ben Simmons. Kyrie's not even playing for us. And then Kyrie could go to Philadelphia and obviously give them a punch offensively at the guard position. So of those two, which one is more realistic is how I want to ask this question. Tass, in your opinion, you know, Ben Simmons to the Nets for Kyrie or Ben Simmons to the Blazers for CJ McCollum and picks?
Ben Simmons for Kyrie seems way too far-fetched, but let's go with it. Let's go with it. I'm excited for that prospect because it would just solve two problems, two holdouts, back playing basketball in one trade. So for basketball fans, that would be phenomenal. And yeah, the Blazers one has been on the table forever. So right. Is that what Morey settles for now? It may be a safer play than Kyrie Irving coming your way because Kyrie's contract only guaranteed this season. Even if he agreed to sign a contract extension with Philadelphia, still risky. His last two teams went to Boston. I'll be here for life. Obviously didn't happen. Went to sign with KD in Brooklyn, and things aren't going well now. Also, Shams Charania reporting that he's nowhere closer to being vaccinated. So doesn't seem like he's coming back on the floor anytime soon. So Daryl Morey would be taking a huge risk. But you know he's a risky guy. He likes to take risks. So it's definitely a high risk, high reward move, but also it would lower your floor if because CJ McCollum, steadier player, you know he'd be out there. But I think at this point, also because you've got the investigation going on in the Blazers front office with Neil O'Shea. Mm-hmm. Now, apparently he's still running the ship and can still make moves, but I don't think he could trade CJ McCollum right this second. So I think if we're talking right now, I think the Nets move is more likely because I think there's a possibility that the Nets are looking at trade prospects. And if you were able to get Ben Simmons, I think that would be the best thing you could get for Kyrie Irving. But in all honesty, neither's going to happen. But I would obviously prefer the Simmons-Kyrie one because it would just be juicy, juicy, juicy for the rest of the year. That'd be the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, there is maybe one problem with that. As of a couple of months ago, at least, if I can remember, and I see people in the stream team pointing it out, Ramona Shelburne said, Ben Simmons may not be vaccinated as well. So we could be in the same situation with Kyrie not being able to play for the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, that could be the case. I don't know if that's changed since then. But Lee, same question for Tass. Which one is more realistic? Or maybe you have even another one that you want to throw out there to get Ben Simmons moved.
Well, I actually think the more realistic one is probably CJ McCollum because I just don't think Daryl Morey is looking at the Kyrie Irving situation and going, yeah, we'll take those problems instead, because Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons are both not playing because they don't want to right now. Nothing's actually stopping those guys from going out on the court. Get vaccinated. The Sixers saying to Ben Simmons, come and play. He doesn't want it. So the risk you take with Kyrie Irving is, as fantastic as he can be offensively, we also know he's a little unpredictable in things might just come along where he's like, you know what, I just don't feel like playing right now, and he takes some more time off. And Ben Simmons, I mean, you know, Skeetsy, you and I have disagreed on this. He doesn't seem the sort of person to me, from what I'm seeing, that he's sitting at home, I'm going to show all these guys what I'm going to do. Instead, he's being challenged, and he's like, he's slinking away from that challenge, because if he really wanted to show up the franchise, he would get out on the floor and show the Sixers, this is what I can do, now get me out of here, I'm playing my way out of it. Instead, he's like hiding from the franchise. So I think in that sense, if you can get your hands on CJ McCollum, you do that in a second, I think, if you're the Philadelphia 76ers, because you know he's a veteran, you know he can score, he can shoot, he's going to turn up, he's going to play. You miss something defensively, of course, with Ben Simmons, but I think CJ McCollum is, other than that, a model pro who's going to go out there and at least perform for you. I think the situation with Ben Simmons right now is he got upset, okay, with the franchise, but his response is basically like, I am never talking to you ever again. I'm never even going to show up for you ever again. And I think that is a concern for any team that potentially takes on Ben Simmons right now as well. I think they're like, he's a great player when he's on the court, but if he's not in the right frame of mind, he might also just walk out on our team.
What do you think, Trey?
I think the Blazers should fire Neil Olshey and trade CJ McCollum to the Sixers today. I think this is the trade that needs to happen. Both of these teams are scuttling. The Sixers need some more guard play. They need something from Simmons' spot. We've been talking about these two trades specifically for months. These are the ones that make sense. I don't think Kyrie Irving is going to happen in this trade. There's always some hesitation to trade within the conference, which is a weird thing, I think. But I don't know. To me, it almost feels like on one half, the Sixers are asking too much from the Blazers, and the Blazers are a little too attached to CJ McCollum. But the vibes are bad in Portland, and they need something to change. I don't think it could get any worse bringing in Ben Simmons. So Simmons for McCollum, call it in 3 months ago, please.
All right, let's move to the Pacers, because I found a couple that were a little intriguing. We keep talking about the Pacers need to break up their two bigs. So they got to trade either Miles Turner or they got to trade Domantas Sabonis. You know, one of them have to go. Well, I found a trade for both of those guys. Let's start with Sabonis. This one by way of ESPN, big article on like blockbuster trades so they could shake up the league. The Warriors make a play for Sabonis. And what it would cost them in theory be a bunch of their young guys. James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga, and Moses Moody for Sabonis. There's that one. Okay, table that for a second. Then I found one for Miles Turner. You know, a lot of people intrigued by him. The Hornets could use a guy at the center position, give him a little defense, still stretch the floor. Would the Pacers at all do something like Kelly Oubre Jr. and then a young guy, a promising guy, in like James Booknight, let's say, hypothetically, for Turner? That by way of Swarm Sting. So, if you're Indiana, from their side of things, Trey, would you just rather trade Sabonis or would you rather trade Turner? And of those two that I threw at you by way of the internet, do they make some sense? Too far-fetched? What do you think?
I would trade either of them or both of them. I think it's time for a change in Indiana. Did you realize the Pacers have the lowest attendance in the league? This is just a team that is not very exciting, and they're not very good right now. It's time for a remix. Like, who's the best player on the Pacers? I would think it's Sabonis. That would be the guy I would want to keep around. But Zach Harper, in a preseason preview podcast, he mentioned that Domantas Sabonis is the new Nikola Vucevic, and that really changed my mind on things. Like, if he's your best player, you might be looking at 41-41 at the absolute top. But it also feels like you could get more back for Sabonis. So if I'm looking at these two packages that you suggested, Skeets, and that you came up with on your own 100%, I would much rather have Wiseman, Kuminga, and Moody.
Yeah.
Three guys who have a combined 4 years of experience than Kelly Oubre and James Booknight. Like, Booknight's played 7 games so far. I don't know anything really about him. Kelly Oubre, as we've seen, has had some moments in the league, but not a guy you're building around. At least if you get three young prospects for Sabonis, you're on the path to building something new.
Okay. Would the Warriors ever do something like that, Lili? You know, Sabonis is available. It's going to cost you all of like your young guys, you know, your picks from the last 2 years. Would they lean all into that? And would Sabonis fit with that team, obviously around Draymond and then Clay when he's back and Curry and so on? What do you think?
I think they probably would. They're in win now mode right now. And Sabonis, a two-time All-Star vet, you know what you're getting. Offensively, he can shoot, he can pass, he can spread the floor. Not a great rim protector or defender, but he's an upgrade over those guys because they're rookies or young players that we haven't just seen enough of. I like, you know, when you talk about Kuminga there, I mean, we saw him in Brooklyn, you know, he's athletic and he's energetic on the other end. But Sabonis is just a veteran who's been around. He's a tough player. So I think he would slot into that sort of system him there in Golden State very, very nicely. And, you know, I mean, the Warriors, when they drafted James Wiseman last year, I think they kind of drafted him in the hope that they could perhaps trade him for a veteran who's a little bit more along the same timeline as Draymond and as Steph and, of course, Clay when he comes back. So, yes, I think so. I think Sabonis is just a good player to have on your team. I mean, he's very solid at both ends. And as I say, he can pass the ball, he can shoot, he can give you a little bit of presence inside as well. So I don't think him and Draymond would sort of get in each other's way either because, you know, they just know how to play, those sort of guys. So I think they would do that and you would be prepared to sacrifice a little bit of your youth just to get the guys who can help you right now and are just a bit more experienced.
Yeah, you do wonder if the Warriors would prefer Turner to Sabonis Tass. I'm not sure what the answer is to that. I don't know if you have a take on it. I mean, Sabonis is a great player, and I'm with you, Lee. I mean, especially with the way the Warriors play. If you can move the ball, then you can play on that team, and he can do that. But then again, Turner gives you, obviously, rim protection and rebounding and can stretch the floor a little bit. If they had a preference, who would you want from the Warriors side of things? And would you give up a guy like Kuminga, which is a big part of this, I think?
Yeah, I definitely see the Miles Turner fit being a little bit better. He could be Kevon Looney with hops. Kevon Looney is out there dunking and playing defense and doing a great job. But yeah, Miles Turner would be a nice upgrade on that. That being said, both good players, but I don't think the Warriors do it. I think the Warriors have somehow miraculously balanced a championship team and the future because they sort of fleeced the Minnesota Timberwolves. They've got three picks in Wiseman, Kuminga, and Moody who aren't even in the rotation, and they're still a championship contender. So they've got a present where they could win a championship, and then they've got a future with these three guys that as Steve Kerr said, Kuminga is our Kawhi Leonard of his rookie year with the San Antonio Spurs, learning to be a 3-and-D guy. Wiseman hasn't even learned to play the game. Moses Moody looks like a really good defender in his very, very limited minutes. So somehow they've bridged this gap that championship teams can't do. So I don't even think they do it. I know they want a center. They need a center. They need somebody to be able to play a little backup five. So Wiseman will be that guy. It could be somebody they trade for. Thaddeus Young is available with the San Antonio Spurs, I assume. They're probably looking for another guy like that, but I would assume that we're looking at this as a championship team. Go get anybody, for sure. But I think they're looking at this a little bit longer term as well. So those are three guys not even in the rotation. They almost have a solid future 2 years from now, and they could win the championship without any of those guys.
All right, finally here, Lele, we'll start with you. Let's talk wraps. Pascal Siakam. Let's say he's being shopped here by Masai Ujiri. And a team that he's been linked to for a while is the Sacramento Kings, who we all feel maybe they should make a move to. And we've talked about De'Aaron Fox having a bad year and him looking sort of checked out a little bit. There's the whole Bagley situation. They would maybe move off Buddy Hield. So let's make a Raptors-Kings deal here. And there was two that I saw that were like, okay, maybe there's something there. The NBA Analysis Network. I never heard of that website, but I saw this here. Yeah. Kings receive Siakam, and the Raptors would receive Buddy Hield, Marvin Bagley, a 2022 first-round pick, probably top seven protected, and then like a second-round pick. There's that. So it's a Buddy Hield, Bagley, and picks for Siakam. Or you stop overthinking it, and you go Siakam for De'Aaron Fox. And maybe like Bagley and Boucher are included from both teams respectively if you want to or something like that. But at its core, it's Siakam for Fox. So the question, Lee, is should the Raptors and or the Kings be looking to trade like their star players? Their Siakam, their Fox. What do you think?
Well, I think De'Aaron Fox is the best player coming back in this scenario. But then I just look at the fit there next to him and Freddie VanVleet in the backcourt. Is that a good defensive backcourt? I know Freddie's a good player defensively. Is De'Aaron enough? I mean, they've got Gary Trent basically starting there now, so he's an upgrade there. So if you want the pure talent upgrade, then I think you make that Fox move. I think it's just a little less likely that the Kings make that move first. I think if they can, if you say, all right, to the Kings, we'll give you Siakam and we want Buddy and Marvin and that first round pick. I think the Kings are more likely to do that first. And I think, Buddy would actually help the Raptors. The Raptors aren't a great 3-point shooting team. They're only 25th in the league in makes in terms of percentage. So Buddy, is going to come and help spread the floor like that. So I think that's good. I just think, ultimately, though, I think you would rather have De'Aaron Fox and you're hoping to get the Fox of the last season or two where he was a guy who really looked like he was on the way up. It might be a little bit of a clunky fit there next to Fred, but I think overall you try to make it work. But as I say, I just feel the Kings, their first move isn't going to be to trade Fox. I think they'll try to trade some of those periphery players first. If they can't get a decent bite on any of those, then maybe they consider moving on from De'Aaron Fox. But it's an interesting little thought process there to have De'Aaron Fox in Toronto, because I think he could be rejuvenated on a good team. And I think, Nick Nurse would actually be a really good coach for him. So I like it if you're the Raptors. If you're prepared to give up on Pascal Siakam, you probably want to see that star quality that you get from Fox more so than Buddy and pieces in return.
Well, let's go to the Raps fan. Tass, what do you think of these?
Well, I like the NBA Analysis Network. I just checked out that website.
A lot of information, eh?
A lot of information. They break it up by divisions. They're going old school. You want your info? You go by. I'm in the Atlantic Division right now, and I'm looking at the Toronto Raptors, and I would say no way the Raptors are trading for good pieces like Buddy Hield, Marvin Bagley, they would rather trade for De'Aaron Fox.
Right.
Masai's going for a star. Oh, giving up on Paskey. You know, maybe I'm a little attached. Maybe like I'm a, like a GM who made his pick and I'm loving my Paskey. But, I would love De'Aaron Fox, obviously, on the reps. I don't know. I'm like a fantasy GM. I can't give up Pascal, though. I just can't. I love him. I believe. Isn't there another way to
what
get
do you
De'Aaron
believe,
Fox?
Though? What do you believe? That he's a number one player on a team?
No.
You don't
De'Aaron
believe
Fox
that.
Isn't either, though.
No, I didn't say he was. But we also have... As the Raptors, dropping the we on it.
Drop the
I mean, you do have OG.
We the Raptors.
And you do have Scotty Barnes on the come up. I mean, you're starting to have a lot of the similar players. Get a sort of an explosive guard to pair with Van Vliet. I actually think it would work totally fine, by the way. Van Vliet can play off the ball. Van Vliet can shoot. And Fox is going to help you with, like, obviously your pace and stuff like that. I think that would work. And I think the Kings should. I mean, they would probably prefer Hield and Bagley going out than Fox, but... They should be very interested in Siakam if he were actually on the table, I think.
But do you think, though, you know, Fred can play off the ball, but do you think he would like to do that? Do you think he would like to say, you know, a guy's coming in and you're being bumped off the ball? I don't.
At a certain point, Fred VanVleet is going to break down here. So we just
trade VanVleet, right? I mean, if they trade Siakam, they're probably going to trade VanVleet as well.
Wow, that's a really, really lean into a whole sort of rebuild. Yeah, it's possible.
Who's better, De'Aaron Fox or Fred VanVleet?
It should be Fox.
It's VanVleet.
Yeah.
It was Fox probably, up until as far as last season. But Fred's really overtaken him right now, and Fox just looks a shell of his former self.
Yeah,
you know? like
well, so does Siakam.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. If I'm Fred, you know, he's kind of taken over now as the point guard on that team. Like Kyle's gone. You bring in a guy and you're like, okay, we're going to actually switch you to the off-ball guard. I'm sure Fred will be fine with it, but I'm just not sure he would be in love with that idea myself.
Mm-hmm. Trey, any final thoughts on a Kings-Raptors potential deal? Either of these or maybe another one?
It feels like a deal could get done between these two teams, but I don't know if either of these are the perfect mix. It's probably somewhere in between, right? Like, I don't know. It feels like both teams would have a lot more moves to make. Like, if Siakam goes... And De'Aaron Fox comes back. You think Fred VanVleet is going to be on the move? And if you're the Kings, it's got to be Harrison Barnes is then going somewhere as well, because I don't know. There just seems like a lot of duplication for both of these teams in both of the spots they're trying to trade. They seem like they are natural partners, but it's hard to find the right mix. I do think it would be fine to move off of Siakam. This is kind of year three for him as the number one guy. Doesn't feel like a number one guy to me, but a quality player who... will probably thrive if he's playing on a little bit better team as well, and he can settle into the number 2, 3, 4 sort of role. So, I don't know. I don't know what other teams are out there, but it feels like Siakam could be on the move for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's hear from everybody in the stream team, and let's hear your trade ideas in the
YouTube
comments.
Thanks for coming up with those trades, Skeets.
No, that wasn't me. It's all the NBA Analysis Network, ESPN. What
Swarm
did I say?
Sting.
Swarm Sting.
Swarm Sting. Very dangerous.
And Bleacher Report, I believe there was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So shout out to everybody out there doing the work for the sickos, and people love the trade ideas. I love it, Lee. Yeah, I got to say, I'm getting very excited because I do feel, I know sometimes we've said this before and nothing happens. Something, we're getting like a good, like a Siakam level, a Fox level, a CJ McCollum level. A trade is happening. Like that level, lock it in at some point, you know, in the next couple, I guess, month and change here.
There's enough teams that are like, we've just got to do something here. We've got to take things
for sure.
So people push back in the stream team, like some of these deals, like, oh, you're just reshuffling the deck chairs. Like, yeah. you get tired of looking at that one chair. Let's get a different chair. At least it's something new to look at. Like, I get it. Like, they don't maybe move the needle to a championship level for some of these teams. But at the same time, it's like the definition of insanity, right, Lee? Like, just doing the same thing over and over again. So switch
like,
it up.
GMs are just like us in fantasy, though. They sometimes just want to have that conversation, that talk. And let's say, you know what? Let's just make a trade. Let's make a deal. Let's make something happen.
Because it's their job on the line, too. Let's not forget. Like, you can't just sit there and do nothing if your team's like a 500 team for the last couple of years. You got to sort of swing for the fences. And it might blow up in your face, and then you're out of a job anyway. But... Maybe it doesn't, right? So hopefully we get some deals here.
And we're approaching December 14th when a lot of the league can be dealt.
Right. Well, that wasn't. Is it 14th or 15th? I thought it was the 15th. think it's the 14th.
Okay.
I've been saying 15th for like the last month on the show here, so I've been either been telling everybody the wrong date for the last month.
I just checked.
Okay.
I just checked the Tra-Day machine.
Well, it could be that thing where it's December 14th at midnight.
11:59 p.m.
Or December 15th in the morning. Who knows?
January 14th. What's that? Restriction expires December 14th, 2021. So maybe you're right. Maybe it's
Until 15th. Yeah, we're both right. We're both right.
Well,
okay. We're going to take our final break. But man, we have so much still left to do on this show. We got Five Star Friday from Trey. We got Tass's Tweet of the Night. We got Pick'em Results and our picks for tonight's big game between the Suns and the Warriors. And then we got some rapid fire fun. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
It's NBA playoffs time, and that means NBA snack time. I can't stop eating while I'm watching. So many options in my house that I gotta cut out a bit. I gotta switch it up, but I know I'm not giving up. Sunflower seeds, sure. But maybe something that's not a food for that oral fixation, perhaps? Good thought. Here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Its taste is surprising. All natural stuff. It's fun to fidget with, and it's a good weight. The wood feels good, and it feels cool to use. Start the good habit by going to tryfume.com/dunks and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners to the show 10% off when they use our code DUNKS to help make starting the good habit that much easier.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Back with the No Dunks Drop podcast. It's the first Friday of the month, which means it's time for some Five Star Friday fun. Very exciting, TK. What do you got?
Oh, yeah. First Friday of the month, we read your best five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. Spotify, you had your time in the sun with that Spotify rep, but we're talking about five-star reviews. Here, our first one comes from Mirko Rossinero, NBA Fun, it is titled. This Dinkers crew just delivers classics. Come for the basketball chat, stay for the random topic rambling. Lee is the master. Agreed. Once in a while, JD drops a dime. Trey Kirby cheers up Bulls fans and fishermen everywhere. Tass hits you with a quote, and J.E. Skeets commands the action or simply cracks up laughing. Gold! Also expanding the content variety. Yeah, we did that. Thank you, Mirko. Five-star review. That's a good one. Moving on to our next review. This one comes from Ben is Cooking. I'm back! Ben is Cooking of Twitter infamy here. The Fast Friend series brought me back to the show. Hashtag Free Mattio. Proud of you guys. Hey, Ben, thanks for coming back, man. Is Ben is Cooking part of the Tweet of the Week army, Lee?
Yeah, I don't know what the infamy is. Maybe that's it. He was just on the shout-outs every week. I'm not sure, but welcome back. Welcome back, Benny. Good to have you.
Back in the kitchen.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, Ben is Cooking and he's back. The Ben is Back. And I also like the title of that one. Like, Han, you thought I was dead. Okay, our next one. I love this podcast. 5 stars. Still my favorite basketball podcast to this day, 10 years later. I think that's a funny line. But my question to you, the writer of this review was no truck stops.
Right.
Do we ever have, like, truck stop jokes? I don't know. That one kind of threw me for a curveball when I saw it. I was like, huh. No truck stops.
No, I can't remember anything. The only thing that comes close is we once talked about the Loves patch on the Oklahoma City Thunder jerseys. Sure. But, I mean, I don't even know. Is that a truck stop or is that more just like a convenience store? I don't even really know.
Good question. That's why we're no truck stops. We have no idea. Yeah. And none of us have a truck at this point. Our next one comes from McNewman, 28. 5 stars, the best basketball podcast. The OG and still the best basketball podcast. Need I say more? No, you don't. But you did. Love that you're expanding into other areas and can't wait for y'all to cover disc sports.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That would be fun.
Yeah?
Super fun. What's a discus? That's a disc sport.
Yeah. I mean, frisbee. Well,
I think he's talking about frisbee golf.
Yeah, frisbee golf.
Oh, frisbee golf. That's a good one.
That's the one. Actually, at our all-star party in Charlotte, one of our fans there, he was a coach of frisbee golf at a college. College frisbee golf coach. A professional. He got paid to coach frisbee golf, where people got scholarships to go play frisbee golf. Amazing. But I think it's one of those sports that it's fun to play, but not really fun to talk about, I'd say. I don't know if we're gonna be looking at the leaderboard, wondering if number 9 is gonna catch number 1. It's just one of those. Nah. But frisbee golf is an amazing sport to play.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. Tass and I, we once played one of the most beautiful courses in the world on some island in British Columbia. I'm not even kidding.
No, it was Victoria. It was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's where we were.
That's why I love it so much, because my other than seeing, you know, one of those little golf cones and throwing it in, my first course that I played, if that's what you call it, it was spectacular.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were in the woods, Lee. Like, it was legit amazing. And, like, the other courses, for the most part, are, like, in a park, and, like, maybe you got to go around one tree, but we were, like, full-on in the woods. But it was, like, carved out like a golf course. It was amazing. Yeah.
It was spectacular. It was beautiful. It was a rough terrain. It was a rough course.
Yeah, and up and down.
And our man, Ken Angeles, who's just had a baby, that man was playing in flip-flops because he does everything in flip-flops.
That's true.
But, you know, he survived. I don't know how he did. You got to wear cleats playing frisbee golf, right?
Wow.
No, I don't know.
You just should maybe wear flip-flops when you're climbing up and down mountains, but it didn't stop him from playing for sure.
Well, you're welcome, McNewman. You got a little disc sport coverage for you right there. But I think a solid point by AJ Santiago here in the stream team, who says Lee could never be on no discs. How else is he going to store all of his vacation pictures?
Yeah. Right.
All right. Our final 5-star review comes from us, PD Trueblood. Fantastic Alf Reboot is the title. A hilarious, faithful, yet inventive reboot of the beloved 80s Alien Out of Water sitcom. Basketball, quote unquote, personalities. Tass, JD, Skeets, and Trey do their darndest to hide an Alf, alien life form. Called Lee from the government to save him from the inevitable tests and painful probings. The gang goes to great lengths to teach their bespectacled alien to act like a real human. Catching Lee amid classic alien hijinks, like sitting backwards on the toilet, unironically wearing cargo shorts, and lusting after overripe bananas. Let's hope Lee doesn't go back to Melmac, Australia anytime soon. 5 intergalactic stars. Thank you for that one, PD Trueblood. I've never seen Lee eat a cat. But
no,
that's not saying
doesn't mean
he hasn't.
Yeah, that's right.
No.
Lee, did you ever watch Elf?
I have not consumed any cats. Oh, wow. Where are we here? Oh.
Back to Melmac.
I don't know what happened there. If that was
you're you're back.
I'm back. Okay. Yeah. Elf was in the news recently for something I remember seeing.
It was like the number one show on TV in the 80s when something happened. I remember seeing it. I used to watch it.
Wait. What? It was the number one show in the 80s when something happened?
Yeah. I can't remember now. I can't remember. But I just remember thinking like, oh, yeah, I used to watch Alf. Didn't think it had number one rating written all over it. But, you know, I guess that can happen, you know, in the TV world. You know, you just strike it lucky there.
I loved Elf. Anytime you got to see Elf's feet was a big episode. I remember that was like as a kid, like, wow, my God.
I've never seen Lee's feet either.
Walk around. What's that?
We've never seen Lee's feet either.
That's a good point. Rarely stand, get to see Lee, stand up. This will be like an awesome Elf episode. Let's see your legs and your feet. Your legs are as hairy as Elf. All right, great stuff.
Could this be true, Lee, from Oscar McGillicuddy, who said the Berlin Wall fell and Alf was number one? Is this news?
That, I think, is it, because I was in Berlin in the summer, and I think there is that correlation there. So, yes, I think that's right.
Nice.
Thank you. Who was that? Oscar. Oh, Oscar. Great name, Oscar. Well done, son.
Wow, we got it. Good stuff. All right, thank you for the reviews, guys. Keep them coming on Apple Podcasts. I think you can also leave reviews on Spotify. Is that true? I keep hearing that. I don't know if that's the case.
I'm going to leave one right now.
Keep dropping them, and we really appreciate it. And we'll do another five-star Friday fun when we get into the new year in 2022, early January. Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
All right. Nerd alert. Tweet of the night has to do with the actual day of this tweet, December 2nd, 2021, yesterday. Michelle Kessel informed the world that when December 2nd is written out in the date format year, month, day, 2021, 12/02, not only is the date a palindrome, the same back and forth, it's also an ambigram. You can read it left to right, right to left, and also upside down.
Whoa.
That's pretty freaking cool. Also works month, day, year, if that's how you prefer.
Right.
Your format, 12/02/2021. Love the palindrome, but the ambigram. It's you don't see that very often.
No.
I think I wasn't going too deep, but I believe the last time this happened was a decade ago, or maybe 20 years ago. I don't know. Wasn't going to go that far, but very, very cool. Also very cool. Going back to basketball, our man Nav Bhatia, super fan. Mm-hmm. He is having a biopic made of him.
What?
Wow.
Yes. He's got a story to tell, Skeets. Cal Penn is going to produce and star in Nav Bhatia's biopic, a movie about Nav Bhatia.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Cal Penn was sitting courtside at the Knicks game last night, too.
He was.
Yeah.
He was. Yeah, and this came out yesterday. Super fan Nav Bhatia put it up on his gram, and he's not lying. So, yeah, there's a movie by Cal Penn starring and producing it. A lot of cool things happening yesterday. Also, Alf was the one when the Berlin Wall came down.
Let's not forget about Elf. Yeah, I guess we'll be doing a... My God. Look at those...
Feller.
Look at those dogs. Yeah. Toes.
Three toes.
It was a great... Hey, that was a great show. Elf was great.
I'm surprised how short-lived it was. It was only five.
Felt seasons. Like it was on a decade.
Yeah, because it was that good. But I think you were going to say, Skeets, yeah, we're going to do a film session on Nav Bhatia's...
Oh, hell yeah.
...biopic, no doubt.
No, 100%.
Is it called Superfan? Am I reading the headline right, or are they just referring to him as the Superfan?
Good question.
Yeah, I think they're just referring to him. Oh, but okay. Let's bring it back up, JD, if you don't mind, so we can parse it a little bit.
No, not at all.
Oh, maybe it's called Superfan.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it looks like it, yeah.
Because that's a good name for it.
Yeah.
So can't wait to watch it, Nav. And we'll have you on to talk about it, because you're the best.
An elf cameo in the new movie.
He's been in the news a lot recently, so very timely.
Well, maybe there's a scene where, like, Nav Bhatia's watching Elf when he was growing up, and he got excited about his feet. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Cool. Great tweets there, Tass. Let's get to pick'em results from last night. It was the Bulls-Knicks game. Tass was the only one to take New York at home in Madison Square Garden, and they were the dog, so they got a little wiggle room. It was close, very, very close, but the Bulls covered. That's a win for me. It's a win for Lee. It's a win for Trey, who's perfect in the month of December. And Tass falls to 1-1. So three of us are 1-1 here early. Lots of games on tonight. I already told you the game, everyone. We're doing Suns Warriors. But Tass, what's the line on this bad boy?
It's a monster. A monster of a line. Hmm. You'd expect it to be a lot closer than 6.5 is where it started. The Warriors now favored by 7, but our line's going to be 6.5 okay. At home to the Phoenix Suns. And so it's a difficult pick, and that's why we have a Splitsville. Trey and myself are taking the Warriors to win by 7 or more, while Skeets and Lee get that nice 6.5-point pad. Or the Suns can win, obviously.
Right. Mm. I mean, I just couldn't. I couldn't pick against a team that's won 18 straight. And that is giving up 6.5.
Yeah,
like that's big. But who knows? I mean, the Warriors could blow it up too.
I'm sort of half expecting like a Steph Curry 45-point revenge game here. But there's never, surely, in the history of the NBA, a team that's won 18 straight had gone into their next game 6.5-point.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Underdogs.
Devin Booker's absence. A part of that.
Yeah,
back-to-back. Third and fourth nights, all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back-to-back. And the Warriors, their last 10 at home, I believe, have been wins
That's
by
true.
Double digits
true, or more.
So, but yeah, this is the Suns. So okay. Let's hope for a close game.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely for Lee and I, so I can get another win. I got a rare win last day. I was very happy about the Bulls covering. That was a nice change for me. It's been a while. All right, well, we're going to wrap up this Drop podcast with a little rapid-fire fun. Lee, you got the questions this week. What do you got?
Yes, I do. This week, the NBA gave a slap on the wrist to the Bulls and the Heat for tampering violations. It was a minor punishment for a crime the league claims to take seriously. Describe a time you feared you had done something wrong only to get away with it pretty much unscathed. Skeetsy.
I believe I've shared this story before, but I was working at a company, a production company, when I was in Toronto, and they asked me to move this giant RV. And I didn't have my driver's license at the time and had only driven like a handful of times. And I was like, okay, I'll do it, but I'm not all that comfortable doing it. My buddy Brody was supposed to be my eyes. Like, this thing was a boat. It was a really gigantic RV. I had never driven one of these. Anyway, I'm trying to park it, and Brody's yelling at me to keep it coming, but then I can't see him in my mirrors. I backed this thing up into a car and crunched the front of the car, and I'm freaking out because I'm like, well, I mean, I don't even have my license. Like, I'm screwed. The company's screwed. And in the end, nothing happened. Like, they left a note on the car. Like, it wasn't terribly damaged, but it was hit. I mean, it was a boat that I backed up into it, so there was damage to the front of the car. And nothing came from it, so, yeah, that was it.
It must happen a lot where they're just like, yeah, this happens. Just leave a note, and insurance company will deal with it, I suppose.
Yeah. I was like, I told you I didn't have my driver's license, and I've never driven one of these things. I don't know why you wanted me to do this, but, yeah, it was okay.
Tass. Nice.
That fit the description perfectly. Mm. Nice little slap on the wrist right there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was at an Atlanta Braves game a couple years back, and the game was over, trying to grab an Uber. Was on the road, saw the Uber, matched it to my app, saw it, and it was driving by. So I got my run on. I started sprinting, and a cop yelled at me because I crossed an intersection. He screamed, "Get over here! Get back over here!" Because they are extremely tight around Braves Stadium about where you can walk. And so there's definitely a pickup and drop off area. Anyways, a cop yelled at me and screamed at me. So I went right back where I came from. I just turned around and walked back, and he yelled and screamed at me because I'd crossed the street and I wasn't within the barrier or whatever. So I walked around, and he got right up in my grill. I was worried there for a sec. I thought I was getting cuffed, or at least, I don't know, some sort of punishment. But other than smelling his horrible breath, nothing happened to me. So, it was a quick... He just wanted me to follow the rules, which I had no idea about. But, those drop-off stations, those drop-off spots, like, Who cares? Just get in a car and go.
Yeah, let me get out of here. Yeah, let me alleviate
so
some of the
dumb.
Traffic.
It takes so long to leave the battery. The area around Braves Stadium takes forever. But anyway.
What did his breath smell like? Anything in particular or just general halitosis?
Yeah, probably halitosis. Just like nothing had been entered there for a while. Just old.
It was at least it wasn't like a hot dog with onions and garlic and pickles. You're just like, get away from me. I'd rather pay the fine.
You wouldn't rather smell actually food on somebody's breath and not just like gnarly bad breath?
There's nothing nice, is there? There's nothing nice to smell.
No, but you have to pick between one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think I would have preferred a hot dog. Yeah, I was pretty hungry at the time. I would have asked him, where'd you get that?
At least like one smells like death in somebody's mouth. It smells like food. I mean, even if it's gross.
Good distraction technique there, Tassie. Hey, where'd you get that fire? That looks awesome, man. You know, you sort of pop your tires up.
Is that a hot dog?
Yeah.
How did you get that hot dog, sir?
Oh, I love hot peppers, too.
Trey.
Mine is also car and cop related. Every time I drive by a police officer, I assume I'm going to get pulled over. So I get a tight butthole just staring in the rearview mirror until there's a clear horizon. Where Laura grew up, where her parents still live, they have like, you know, private security officers. I got pulled over for running a stop sign there once. I'm sure that'll shock you, Skeets. You've been in the car with me getting pulled over for running a stop sign. They're more of a suggestion in my book, but Laura, you know, I stopped. I paid the $25 fine for whatever, being in their subdivision and not stopping at their stop sign. And she's like, you know, they can't actually get you in trouble, right? If they ever try to pull you over, just keep driving. So I was a little nervous. The next time it happened, next time I ran a stop sign, boo, woo, woo, I hear the lights, but I could see the exit. I was like, this is it. I gotta go for it. I'm making a run here. I exit Lake Holiday. I make a turn onto the road. Lights out. And away we go. Driving back home. I was like, great tip, Laura. Great tip. Don't stop for these fake cops.
Yeah, I was good in the tip. Car when you got pulled over for rolling through a stop sign. This guy, Trey Kirby, generally a happy, jolly guy. It was like, you were so pissed off with this cop, and you definitely did not stop at the stop sign.
Yeah, 100% like, deserved the ticket, kind of, man. I wasn't causing any problems there. There were no other cars around. We didn't put anybody in jeopardy. We just wanted to record a classic.
Yeah, you were just like so put out with the officer. I was like, whoa, oh God, yeah, here's my registration. Yeah, here, he was like, how many times has this happened to you? It felt like you had done it 100 times. Like, here we go again.
Yep. Yeah. We moved to our new house over the summer. There's a stop sign by a school, like right at the corner you turn to go towards our house. As we were moving, I told Laura, I'm like, I'm gonna get a ticket here for sure. If we live here for more than 5 years, I guarantee I'm rolling that stop sign. What can you do? Stop? Yeah, sure. I suppose you could
for stop.
one second, but I'm always in a hurry. You know me.
Okay, next one. On Wednesday, Drake was spotted courtside at an Oklahoma City Thunder game. His reason for being there was unknown. I once spotted Pink, the singer, at a playground in London, along with Australian actress Beck Cartwright. And then I also saw another celebrity. Well, he was in his environment there. There's one that you all know.
You think that's going to make the movie?
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, I'm wearing his ring there, so I hope so. That's Nav Bhatia for the listening audience. But anyway, guys, tell me about the weirdest place you've seen or experienced and encountered a celebrity in person.
I'm sure I've shared it before a long time ago, but I'll keep this short and sweet. I took a piss beside David Stern.
I'm so jealous.
Right there. Urinal. It's a urinal. Sir? Hello. So that's it. I'm not even going to go into the whole story again. I told the story 10 times.
Tass.
Well, I had another celebrity, but you just reminded me of a urinal story I had. Had one beside Doug Flutie in a casino on a Friday night when the Buffalo Bills, who he was playing for, were playing the Miami Dolphins on Sunday in Miami, and this was in the greater Toronto area. I guess it was Niagara Falls, and he was on Friday, 2 days before the game, not in the city he was playing in. But that's because Rob Johnson stole his job as the starter of the Buffalo Bills.
You saw Doug Flutie's Rob Johnson? Skin Flutie?
Yeah. He robbed his Johnson of his starting spot. That should have never happened, and I told Doug that, and he didn't wash his hands, FYI.
Oh, yeah.
That's 100% true. Whoa. Not a rinse, not a nothing.
Hey, I think...
I think
Matty O actually still has the best person he's pissed next to. It was Ludacris here in Atlanta one time. Remember, he took slash next to him. So, Trey, I'm going to just change it up here. Who's the most famous person you've taken a piss next to?
No one, man. I've never pissed next to anybody famous. I mean, television's J.E. Skeets, Tass Mellis, Lee Ellis, Matt Austin, and Jason Doyle. Piss next to those guys sometimes. There's a great picture. Skeets and Matt taking a piss together in the bathroom, and we're lined up in perfect height order. Yeah. More bars and more places. My answer was going to be quarterback related, though. Tass and I saw Matt Ryan at the Botanical Gardens last year. He was there to see the holiday lights. It was like my first time out in public after the pandemic. You know, we're outside. Saw a celebrity, Matt Ryan. I was a little proud to actually recognize him with his mask on, but I had to go and check to make sure it was him on his wife's Instagram. But she put up a story. It was him. He was having a great time at the trains.
Oh. JD, anyone of you taking a slash next to you want to brag about while we're on it? Or?
Not really. I try to not pee beside people in general, you know?
What, stage fright? What's the reason?
Oh, yeah, like 100%. Like, if David Stern was next to me, there's no way I'd be pissing. I'd stand there and say, hello, how are you, blah, blah, blah.
That's a lot weirder.
Pretend to shake, dip up, walk out, and just go to the next bathroom that I could find.
All right. Okay, last one here. The Phoenix Suns are on a franchise record 18-game win streak right now. So, guys, tell me what is a current streak of your own that you've got going on. Skeetsy.
Yeah, this one's really, really weird. I asked Nora, help me out with this answer. Like, what's a weird streak I got going? And she said, wearing that dumb toque you bought when you were in Arizona. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, you've worn it every day, at least in the morning when you take the dog out to go to the washroom. It was the photo that actually Trey showed us yesterday. Yeah, there it is. And I was like, what? You're not a fan of this look? She is not. Doesn't care for the toque in general. But anyway, I've got a great streak growing since I bought it at a Walmart in Arizona because it was going to be a little cold on some of the hikes. Mm. Every day, at least every morning, I've thrown that on when you take the dog out when it's a little brisk in the morning. So,
do you cover your ears or are you going tall style?
No, never.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, you got it. Wow.
Got it. This is a real Lee Ellis move, having your prop right there.
Yeah. It's tough with the headphones.
It sort of looks a bit like an oven mitt, actually. I don't know.
That's sort of cool, huh?
Yeah.
Looks like Trey's old haircut.
It does. It does.
Yeah.
There it is. Sorry, Nora.
Headphones.
Tass, what's a streak you got going on right now?
Well, November, I followed a workout plan via my friends at Peloton to help me stay accountable. You know, I need a plan to help me stay accountable. So I'm doing another one in December. I'm trying to work out every day through my friend Robin Arson, who is following a workout plan. This is me done Monday or December the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd here. If you're following along with Robin NYC on Instagram, hashtag 3for31. Now, some people are running 3 miles a day or 5 kilometers a day for 31 days. If you're not into the running, you can do just 30 minutes of movement every day. So, yeah, I just like the check done. State of accountability that's helped out. So that's my tracker. If you want to join me, come have some fun with Robin Arson. I've joined the No Dunks hashtag that we have on Peloton.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, nice.
Fat Patwork 38 started it.
Yep.
And I'm not sure if he's a fan of No Dunks at all, but doesn't matter. We're taking over. We've got 5 members so far.
Members already? Wow.
Yep.
Cool.
The Blue Spirit, Movin' Mass, Jeff Dittman, and Fat Patwork, and myself.
JD's not on there.
Where are you, JD?
Yeah,
where are you, Trey?
Come on, JD.
I'm still not sure if it's real or not. Tass Mellis or not.
We're taking it over.
I can't be a part of a bootleg No Dunks endeavor. No, thank you. Not until I hear from Pat, what's his name? Fat Patwork.
Fat Patwork, 38. Yeah. He's from Toronto, so.
So that sort of makes me think, okay, maybe, but... Also, maybe not. I don't know.
No, it's real. I think this is a real No Dunks team here that you guys got going on Peloton. And I got to get one just to get in. Can't
not
wait.
An ad. Not an ad.
No, no, no. Yeah, not an ad. I mean, I mean, the amount of times we talk about them, they should send us one for sure.
Share it around.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take it for a week. The league can borrow it for a week. It's like we did with our the award we won.
Yeah.
Who's left? TK, take us home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a 2-day streak of eating peppermint bark. I'm going 3 for 31, though. I'm eating one every day this month. Peppermint bark is the best holiday sweet out there, the best holiday spice out there. Pumpkin spice is for the fools. Peppermint bark is for the cools. yeah, Laura bought me an advent calendar that was filled with Williams and Sonoma peppermint bark. I'm feeling luxe around here.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. So rich. A little cool, you know.
This guy loves it.
Oh, I love it. I ate my peppermint bark, my Williams and Sonoma out of the calendar when the girls get home from school. We all go through our advent calendars. Then I got my own stash of Trader Joe's peppermint bark as well.
Oh,
I'm going to all of the different peppermint forests, stripping the bark from their trees, chowing down.
Okay. Awesome. A fantastic final answer.
It's fun. I just threw out all my pumpkin spice stuff because I'm ready to eat. That's why I'm working out.
Yeah.
Because you got to eat. You got to eat in December.
It's a lot of good food. Yeah. Including tonight for the No Dunks Christmas dinner. Can't wait, Lili, for all that. Well, we're only getting muscles, I guess we decided, right?
It's all right. It'll be worth it. Yeah.
Just a vat of muscles for everybody. All right, let's call it there. That is Rapid Fire. That's another Drop podcast. That's another classic, if we're being honest. Thanks to everybody that joined us in the stream team. Shout out to everybody listening later as well. I saw somebody say, you call everybody that joins you live on YouTube the stream team. What about the people that listen? Are they the pod squad? It's not bad.
That's good.
Pretty good. So shout out to the Pod Squad too on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to No Dunk. Just make sure you're subscribed. We'll be back on Monday, of course, to hit you with our NBA weekend winners and losers. So we'll see you then live at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. Keep your questions coming. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Hit us up on Twitter @NoDunksInc. You can leave your comments in the YouTube section in the YouTube comments below this video if you want. Go to NoDunks.com for your NoDunks merch and get yourself an athletic subscription. Go to TheAthletic.com/NoDunks. Fun show to end the week. We'll see you guys in a couple of hours at a fine establishment here in Atlanta. Can't wait to have some fun with you guys tonight. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, folks. And remember, have yourself a great weekend.
Embrace the weekend, people.
You could stay, every day. And I'd be happy every minute. It's been so long, but you're the one I've waited for. It's happened already. It's gonna be groovy.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.